Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined, I've got my co-host, Alan Green, who's a managing director at Brand Communications. I could never forget it. And with our guest, Matthew Yates, who's an investment manager at Seven Investment Management. How are you today, Matthew?
I'm very well, very well.
Morning, Matthew.
Have you come to grips, have you come to terms with macroeconomics?
Well,
you've had 48 hours. I would expect somebody of your caliber to already to be able to tell me everything about it.
Yeah, well, I don't have such a great, you know, formulaic pun to go with the Macron victory. But I think, as markets have shown, it was very much expected. It was the priced-in victory, I think. A classic case of buy the rumour, sell the actual news itself. Mm-hmm. I think when you consider what's going on in European politics, having come from, you know, some real doldrums and some real kind of downbeat sentiment just a year ago, 2 years ago, I remember at the end of last year, looking at the political calendar for the coming kind of 12 months, at the start of November, and thinking, wow, these are going to be some really big hurdles for Europe to get over. And I think what we've seen is the propensity of the markets to really shrug many of those problems off, as we've seen a slight shift back towards the status quo. I think it started with the Italian referendum kind of at the end of last year, and the rally since in European equity since then has been kind of upwards of 20%. I think when you think about the Macron victory and what it actually means, Macron wasn't a vote for the status quo. Macron is actually kind of very much an outsider to the French political system, and really Le Pen, albeit at the far right of the political spectrum, she was the party that really represented the status quo. You know, the Le Pen name has been in French politics for a very long time. I think, though, it now requires, on the political side, at least in France, it's when the action really starts. I suppose we had Trump, particularly last year, and then we saw what he managed or didn't manage to get done in his first 100 days. And I think really Macron going into the kind of the elections to the actual parliament itself, which will come in June next month, that will kind of be the telling thing on how much of his agenda he can get done.
So ideally, Macron would be what Trump hasn't been, or Trump without the tweets, let's say, the madness. He could actually get things done, be populist in a proper sense, rather than in this, Trump is a Goldman Sachs populist so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the distinction, I suppose, there is between the legislature of the US political system and the legislature of the French political system, which traditionally is going to be based upon, you know, many coalitions. Let's not forget the extent of the support that Le Pen got means her far-right party will, it's expected, get 1 to 2 dozen seats in the parliament come the election. Then it's who Macron really sides with, and really it's likely to be the centre-right party, which are expected, by on all accounts, to kind of get the largest share of the votes come the election. So there'll be, it's going to be the extent to which those votes fall on those expected amounts. And if they do, you will have some sort of centre-right-leaning policy come out of France. But I think the interesting thing, when you step back and, you, as I said, that political calendar just 3-4 months ago that looked so daunting, many of those events passing, is Europe now the centre for political risk in the global equity complex? You've seen really, I suppose, from a UK basis, we have the overhang of the ongoing Brexit negotiations and what that means for sterling and subsequently for large cap UK equity markets. We've had the idea of this Trump trade, this big Trump reflationary trade, starting to kind of fade away slightly, as it shows his efficacy to actually get things done, as we've already talked about, is somewhat limited by just the political structures that are in place in the US.
His hands are tied, but I mean, isn't the other revelation from the Macron victory that rather than leaving the sinking ship, as we thought that Brexit might do, or half of us thought, we're actually leaving the QE2. We're getting off the cruise line.
Yeah, a refurbished QE2.
We're back on our own dinghy.
Well, no. That goes back to kind of what I just said. I think the political risk for all the fears and, you know, this idea that Brexit would be the first in a big set of dominoes to fall in Europe, I think they have shown with the Dutch elections already this year, with now this French vote, an appetite for some cohesion in Europe. And that's been reflected in, I suppose, not just the very strong rally we've seen in equity markets, but also, I suppose, some of the things like the VSTOXX, so the European equivalent of the VIX, you know, that to get to the lows it's at, you have to go back to 2007. That's not just in the short-term volatility measures, but also in longer term. So one-year inflation in the options market is back to 2007 levels. I think you're really facing, as I said before, an equity market which has less political risk, where earnings are, or forward earnings are 10% below where they were in 2011 versus the US, where they're 20% above. You know, so earnings are slowly starting to improve and catch up there. The multiples that Europe trades on, you know, 14 to 16 or 14 and a half times, say, versus the equivalent in globally 16 times or the US 18 times. You know, that's an attractive equity market for investors. And the big kind of check before was always the politics and the political situation. Now that's improving. I think there's things to go for.
Matthew, we've got it's euphoria in Europe at the moment, clearly after the victory, but Macron still has some massive challenges ahead, not least of which is the French social system and the way, for example, the National Rail Company will employ its employees, and they have a job for life and they're paid for life. Those are huge issues, and the GDP to debt ratio is 100% in France as opposed to 60% in Germany. Macron's got to act quickly, I think, during the honeymoon period to start to address that. What do you think he's going to do? Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I agree with that. I think really many of the issues which are so important in France are those structural issues. Are those employment? Is the power of the unions? So really when I talked before about the nature of the coalition that Macron forms with very much an outsider party, you know, that's only been formed for kind of the best part of a year that he's part of, who is he going to side with? You know, there's going to have to be some seeding to the left to get the unions on board, and it's only with those kind of political forces on board that he's going to be able to enact the sort of structural reforms that France so dearly needs in its economy. I think the one thing France didn't need in its economy, though, is the overhang of the threat of leaving the European Union and the threat of leaving kind of the single currency. With Le Pen kind of sidelined for now and kind of the far-right sidelined for now, at least for another presidential term. Yep. I think that's some stability that the economy needs to kind of step forward. But completely, it will be the ability of Macron to really side with those political forces that are structural and very strong in France that will really be the guide to just how powerful he can be in kind of bringing France's economy forward.
And of course,
unfortunately, James, we're out of time. We'll have to leave it to Macron to sort out his own business. Matthew Yates, investment manager at Seven Investment Management, thanks for coming today.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you.